In the history of humanity, there have been many games, but only one can claim the title of the greatest of all. That game is hockey! Welcome to the ultimate celebration of that game, the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. I am your host, John Madden, and every week we will bring you the definitive word on this most sacred, most awesome, most electric of all human endeavors. Now, it's face-off time! Welcome to the Magic Number 9 Hockey Broadcast. This is Stanley Cup Finals, Episode 1. Game 1. I think we now know Kings were the winners in overtime. Anyways, notes on the action. First period, goal, LA. Nice way to start it. A lot of speed, a lot of Brodeur acting. Second period, things pick up. Hits on Henrik, Zubris on Carter. Hit by Green, big hits. Nice. The Devils, very physical, very big, seeming like they're a lot bigger, and I think they are, pound for pound, bigger than the Kings. Using the body, putting on the weight, smashing them up good. And I made a note here in the first period, Kopitar, the one to watch this game. Bernier on Lewis, bam, stand-up hit, knocked him out. Zdlicky leading the Devils in assists, a guy I've been screaming about for years now, why Kenny Holland didn't buy him up, I cannot understand. 9-5 against the Kings, this guy. Power play, exceptional. Beef with Jonathan Quick, Eliash goal, off a pass by Volchenkov, tied 1-1. Broder saves, Marty Champ, huge. Devils looking good all the way through the first two periods. Physical size again in the third period. Number 9, Eliash, reaches into the scrum, pulls the puck out, throws it in the back of the net. Nice, sweeping, cheating, illegal, disallowed goal. But he was a Magic Number 9 player, so good old Number 9. Always a factor. Devils are beating the Kings on turnovers here in the third period, and Brodeur's stick is extremely active. The Kings seem lackadaisical. They seem like they're lacking an urgency or a coherence of attack. Brodeur had 21 saves as of this note. The Devils miss an empty net and do not win the game. We go to overtime. LA's fourth line, Nolan and Fraser especially, exceptional. Breakaway spinorama pass by Williams to Kopitar, beats Brodeur top shelf for the win. Los Angeles, and the first period note pays off. Anji Kopitar, who I have a lot of love for. I think Kopitar is a brilliant forward. I think he is vastly underrated in the league, and I'm glad that he's getting some attention now because he's good. He's really good. He's really sick good. He beat Brodeur one-on-one on a breakaway. That's not easily done. The guy's the Wayne Gretzky of goalies. Of course, that's goalies in the modern era. He's never had to work without a mask like Terry Sawchuk, the real greatest goalie of all time, number one. But Brodeur is nothing to sneeze at. The guy is fantastic. He's 41 years old. You want to talk about experience? Already with 3 cups he's got. 3 Stanley Cups. Do not sneeze at Brodeur. Well, Anji Kopitar sneezed at him, and he got right past him on the tie side. The only way you can beat a Stanley Cup quality goalie is to get the puck up. I think that's well established. Now, I'm not even going to stick to the usual format of a guest or aspect of the game. You want to talk aspect of the game? How about this? The Devils, for all their physical size, do not seem to appreciate how dynamic and explosive the LA Kings offense can be, how quickly they can go from sort of slugging around the ice to boom, dynamic attack. They love the chaos. They live for a broken play. I don't think they are as lackadaisical as I wrote that they were in the third period, as much as they are patiently waiting for the other guy to make a mistake. That's pretty much what they did to the Canucks. And they absolutely tore apart St. Louis. But that was because St. Louis didn't actually have any offense outside the power play. So when their penalty kill, which LA has a fantastic penalty kill, when that came into play, they were the better team. You know, that series was decided largely on special teams. I feel like the Devils have gotten a lot of their stroke off of power plays as well. I think they're more dependent on the power play than... That's just a suspicion. But I know that I've seen a bunch of power play goals in that last series by the Devils against the Rangers. Those power play goals, as I recall, did have an impact on things. So we shall see. Power plays or not, and I thought the calls were pretty relaxed. Pretty relaxed. I think game one wasn't very tightly officiated. I don't think the fix was really in yet. I think they'll let the team sort themselves out. I don't think you'll see any heavy fixing action until, like, game three, game four. I think the first two, they're probably going to let them play clean. Now, that's, again, just a suspicion. But typically, it's better for the odds makers to get a couple of clean ones on the books. So, accepting the fix. And frankly, I don't know which way it would go. My guts would say it would fix for New Jersey. But maybe the West Coast needs a cup. Maybe that market needs stimulation more. I don't know the dollars and cents of that. But I will say this. Both teams, the Kings and the Devils, were playing their asses off game one. And I think that the Devils were the better team most of the game. The vast majority of the game, I think the Devils were a better team. The thing is, the Kings don't need to be the better team, but except for only, I don't know, a couple of minutes a game. If they can be the better team for 5 minutes out of 60, and in those 5 minutes score 3 goals, hey, that's all the better team you need to be. The rest of the time, you just got to not screw up. And Jonathan Quick makes it very easy for LA to not screw up. So, if you want to talk an aspect of the game, I think the Kings need to become more physical. Maybe they need to let Willie Mitchell off the leash a little bit. You know, let him really smack some shoulder blades around. Right now, the Devils are definitely pushing the Kings around. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. The Kings have been surprisingly physical when they've been pushed into a corner. They can get up a hit when they need to. They aren't the Philadelphia Flyers or anything. But it's a funny thing when you encounter a hitting team. You really have two responses. One, you can try and judo-like respond to their physically aggressive play by outmaneuvering them. And using the penalties that they're going to draw against them, basically not engaging them whatsoever, and capitalizing off of the opportunities that their thuggishness provides. Now, the drawback to that, of course, is that your guys get the crap beat out of them, and it can break their morale, make them very upset. Now, the other one is, of course, respond to force with force, and just get bigger goons. Go out and bust their ass, you know, and that's fine, too. The downside of that is that, of course, you also become vulnerable to lots of penalties and lots of power plays by the other guy. And, of course, you can hurt your guys. You can hurt their guys. You can end up with suspensions and, you know, stakes is high, especially these days. Now, not so much in the Stanley Cup, and if you're a star, you can pretty much get away with anything you want. Certainly, Bettman overrules Shanahan on that score. We've seen that plenty. As soon as Henrik Zetterberg's face bounced off the back ice, backboards 3 or 4 times, attached to Shea Weber's fist, or should I say, hand on the back of his head. He didn't even give him the honor of a face-to-face. Scummy little turd. I think we knew that the league commissioner for discipline was a straw man. And that's just the way I feel about that. But then again, that's the fix. So if you want to get thuggish, you better hope the fix is working for you and not against you. That being said, I don't know. There is that other kind of good physical, which I think the Devils have been really, really good at. You know, they've been good at being physical without drawing a lot of penalties. Okay, so what do we got? What do they got to say for us? Talk about over here at NHL.com. Well, the big story is the Kings, of course, 10 straight road wins. That certainly helps you get through the Stanley Cup if you never lose on the road. That's always a good thing. But they're 12-2 throughout the playoffs. They've only lost twice. It's ridiculous. And both times they lost in L.A. So how the hell does that work, you know? You know, the hell with NHL.com. You can read that yourself. That's not why you're here. You're here to hear something you can't get somewhere else. So before I wrap it up and we get ready for game two coming up, we have to take a moment of silence for the passing out of uniform. Thankfully not out of this world. But the passing out of uniform of our dearly beloved captain, my captain, Mr. Nicholas Lidstrom. 20 straight years in the playoffs. 4 Stanley Cups. Picked number 52. 7 Norris trophies. At least 1 gold medal with Sweden. And all-star so many times that he asked people to stop nominating him. 2nd most games ever played with Detroit after Gordie Howe, the greatest number 9 of all time. The greatest hockey player of all time. Arguably the greatest defenseman to ever play the game, including Bobby Orr. Nick Lidstrom will leave a gaping hole philosophically, spiritually, and certainly talent-wise and playing stature in the blue line ranks and in the ranks of the organization as a whole. I hope they can find a way to keep him associated, but I don't really see it happening. Maybe if they could make him a defensive coordinator or the defensive coach or something to keep him around, but I don't know if that's what he wants to do or if he wants to go back to Sweden. Regardless, you are so loved, number 5. I almost feel like this should be the magic number 5 hockey broadcast, but it is number 9. Nick, you will be missed. Pleasant journey on your retirement. And that's about all I got to say about that. God bless you. Go Red Wings. All right, the game is coming up here. It's time for me to go. Face off.